is entitled
Called and Chosen
by God. Called and Chosen by God.
Beginning for a text in the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, verse 16. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You know, I've heard people quote that, especially in denominations, believe you can live without, you know, you can't backslide and you can't live without sinning and et cetera. And they want to quote that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. But they don't go through the rest, that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain so that when you pray, you can ask the Father and he'll give it to you. That is a lot of qualifications and a lot of wonderful appendages that go with that particular revelation there that we delight ourselves in, that we didn't choose Christ, he chose us. But we've got to remember there's a great benefit goes with that. When we are called and chosen of the Lord, when we have been foreknown of God, you've always got to remember when you hear somebody talking about election, selection, election, or predestination, you've got to remember that God's foreknowledge precedes his foreordination or predestination. Predestination didn't come first. His foreknowledge preceded his foreordination of us being in his elect. Jesus went about knowing what he was doing. In the last verse of John 2 said he needed not that any man should tell him what was in man, for he knew what was in man. You know how to tell him what you're thinking about, what you're planning. He already knows. In fact, you read Psalm 139, and the Bible said he knew us before we were ever born. And he had us named, and he had us written up in his book. Revelation 17 and 8 says that all shall worship the beast or the Antichrist whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. That's some foreknowledge, isn't it? And then Paul comes along and writes about this class of people who are God's chosen, his election. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, Paul makes this brilliant revelation to that church at Thessalonica. He said, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Well, I tell you, when you know that, you're very knowledgeable. When you know your election, or God selected you out from many, many others, he elected or selected to call you to be chosen and made faithful in a lifetime that would span some 70 to 80 years if you live up all of the expectation and promises that God made. Now, God wrote a book before the foundation of the world. And that book is called the Book of Life. And in Revelation, the 20th chapter, the last verse said, "Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." In other words, there is a called and chosen of God, that we are the benefactors because of God's great plan that was written up before the foundation of the world. His book with his elect in it was written before the foundation of the world. God knew you and all about us before we were ever born or anybody ever thought about us. God had it all planned. What a mind. What a mind. No wonder David said in Psalm 139, he's talking about you knew me before I was ever in my mother's womb, while my substance was yet unperfect, and while all my members never thought about you, had them all written up in your book. Then he made that statement, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." No, there's no use even trying or even reaching up or even asking God for anything like it. That is the infiniteness or infiniteness of God that no mortal ever attains to. And the only human mind that he ever gave that come anywhere close to that was Jesus Christ. Praise God. He had the incarnate God dwelling within him. He was God's masterpiece. He never created anybody like him. We come the closest as a born-again Christian, but we only measure up to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You better be glad you can come up to a measure and rejoice in that. So let's don't take on any excessive, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. For the Bible warns us, if we think ourselves to be something when we're nothing, we deceive ourselves. So, if we're called and chosen of God, we need to walk with fear and trembling before the Lord. It don't give you a spirit of arrogance and a cockiness and a self-confidence, but rather a spirit of self-reliance. Praise God, we have to depend on what God through the Holy Ghost does in our lives to make us qualify to remain in the family of God. For the Bible, let me warn you, speaks of God blotting people's names out of his book. Now, there's going to be some blank places in that book of life where people were written in that book. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, God told Moses, "He that sinneth against me, his name will I blot out of my book." In Revelation 3, to the church of Sardis, he writes, said, "You better walk with me in white so I won't blot your name out of my book." Those warnings wasn't in there just to fill the Bible up with, kind of questionable statements that those apostles made. They were put in there to warn us that something bad can happen to us after something good can happen to us. And Paul and the apostles, as well as David in the Psalms, warned us that in Judah especially, that how God, after he saved his people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Lord have mercy. Take heed lest you fall. All those things are warnings of the Bible that I'm not preaching on today, but I want to make you rejoice in the fact that you are the called and chosen of God. But I must proceed with these warnings. Jesus also said in Matthew 22:14 and Matthew 20 and the 20th chapter, verse 16, that many are called, but few are chosen. And when we begin to boil it down to those that will survive the calling of God, if God calls many, but out of that many, only a few are chosen to remain in his elect, that makes it even fewer yet when he says only a few are going to remain out of those many who are called. It makes it seem very few. And I want to share another scripture with you. In the first chapter of Corinthians, and it's a warning that we need to take very soberly. That's in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 26. Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Hey, after Jesus made that startling remark that many are called and few chosen, then Paul the apostle comes along with a subsequent revelation and says, "You see, brethren, how you got called, that not many wise men, not many mighty men after the flesh, not many noble aristocratic people are even called." They're not even called. Oh, Lord. Then you look around at a world. As John said in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. And God put us and called us out of that wickedness, out of maybe a family, a community that had wicked people in it, and called us to be his lights in this world, called us to be the salt of the earth, to call us to be his witnesses. Praise God, right in the middle of extreme darkness that pervades because of men choosing darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And why did God look at you and me and call us to be in His elect rather than some others that we look at and with longing eyes and said, I'd like to see that man or woman save that boy or girl.